Remember the last thing that we were learning was when we had the kaveret was standing up, not on its side, and it was a kli. The standard next step is, what if it is not a kli? What if it's broken? So here too, we go through exactly the same limud. So when do we say everything that we said before where it was talking about was a kli? But suppose it wasn't a kli. Suppose it was busted. And then we put in some kash in the hole, which is not enough to turn it back into a kli. Or, and again, we're going to bring up that sheet of the Chachamim, that according to the Chachamim, if it's arboim sa'ah, then it's considered not only to be a kli that's not mekabel tumah, it's considered not to be a kli at all, according to this. So then, the halacha would be like this. Tumah tachteha betocha, o al gaba, bokat ve'ola, bokat ve'yoredet. So there, since we don't have a kli, if we have tumah underneath it, and it's like there's not a tefach, and then it's tumah ritzutza, and it's going to go straight up and straight down. It will not spread at all to the sides. Anything that is irradiated by the tumah is going to be tameh, and anything to the side will be tahor. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, no. In this case, the tumah does not go into up, and it doesn't go down. Why is this? Because they hold, even without a tefach underneath it, since it's not considered to be a kli in this case, so therefore we treat the pieces of it as if it's an ohel, and it will stop the tumah from going up and going down. So if it were lifted a tefach off of the ground, the din would be, as we know, that it would stop the tumah. And in the previous Mishnah, where we're talking about where it is a kli, and therefore it can't be an ohel to stop the tumah, it's over there that they agree that, yes, the tumah tunnels through it. But in this case, where it's not the kli, they hold that the tumah won't go through it. And if it was gavoah min ha'aretz tefach, so now it spreads, then if the tumah is tachteah, the entire area tachteah will be tameh. But anything in it and anything on top of it is not going to be tameh because there's an ohel that stops it from going through. If the kezias is inside of it or it's on top of it, so then there's nothing that stops it from going up. Now remember, do not confuse this with the cases. When it was on its side this wasn't true because on its side we considered the flat pieces to be the equivalent of an oil, since it's not a kli. But in this case, the kli is standing up and down. Since it's standing up and down, it's no longer considered to be a blockage, because the blockage came from the halacha that there's no access of the tumah to the inside of a mukav tzamit pasil or to something whose mouth is facing away, which is the equivalent of mukav tzamit pasil. But over here, the mouth is directly above the tumah. So in this case, there's nothing that prevents the tumah from going through. That's the point that everybody's making over here. In which case, there is nothing that will stop it from going up and down. But that is, again, in the event that if it's govoa min ha'aretz tefach, then it'll spread. If it's inside of it or on top of it, then it won't spread. But then it's going to still irradiate directly up and directly below, and there's nothing to stop it. Mishnah Tet Vav. Now we're going to move on. We finished our kaverets, and we've done every possible variation of the kaveret. Inside, outside, upside down, right side up, on its side, mouth facing in, mouth facing out. Yes, tefach underneath it, no tefach underneath it. Yes, the kaveret is a kli, no, the kaveret is broken, and so on. So in these Mishnayos, we have exhausted all the possibilities of kaveret. Now, we still want to know some of the dinim that would be fascinating, nogea, the spreading of tumah. So let's imagine that we have an orein, shehi rechava milamata v'tzara milamala. So let's say we've got this burial piece of stone, and we're putting a mace into it, and it's wide on the bottom, but it's narrow on top. So It spreads out on the bottom. The mace is inside of it. So then the halakha is like this. Hanogea ba milamata tohor. If somebody touches the outside of this stone, which is the part that is not underneath the cover, because remember, it's wider on the bottom. So the cover never got over the part that he is touching. So then if he touches it milamatan, he's tohor. But if he touches it milamalan, where it's directly underneath the cover, so then he would be tamei. Because again, the halacha is that if you have something that is carved, and this is now, it's mamish part of bedrock, so then it's considered to be tohor. But over here, you put a lid on top of it. If you put a lid on top of it, that is something that is this biyad adam. It's not something that is part of a natural kuch in this case. So anything on the side of that lid, the tumah is going to be spread out by the lid and it will go directly underneath it. So if it's narrow towards the top, it's only the part that's mamish directly under the lid that's going to be makabel tumah. And obviously we're talking about over here where the lid doesn't cover more than the very edge of that wall. If it touches all the way to the outside, then you're talking about a different halacha, which we'll talk about in the Mishnah later. How about if it's the other way around? So you understand what this looks like. It looks like this. It looks like it's a natural stone box. It's wide at the bottom, thin on top. And we put a little cover made out of stone on top of it. But it's just enough to be supported by the edges of this crypt. On top of it. It doesn't extend outward. It's just supported at the edges. Now let's imagine that the shape is the exact opposite. It's wide on top and it gets narrow on the bottom. So then wherever you touch it, since over there, the outside is underneath the lid all the way down because the lid was in the uppermost part. So it's wider than the rest of the wall. So then in that case, the entire thing is spread tuma because of the lid on top. How about if it's just straight? It's not shaped, not like a V. It's not shaped like an inverted V. What would be the din? So hayta shava, any point that you would touch it on the outside, it's tame because basically part of that entire wall is under the lid. So says Rebbe Eliezer, because he holds that even though this thing goes down much deeper than the actual position of the mate that's inside of it, it's still going to become tameh. So let's say you touch it a meter beneath where the mace is. Since the lid extended over the wall, that wall is still considered to be wall and will be metameh. Rebbe Yehoshua says, no. Only within a tefach of the actual mace is it going to be metame. So mitefach ulamatan, once it's beneath the tefach, then it's tahar. Mitefach ulamalan, if it's from within a tefach underneath the mace, and then from up, then it's all going to be tame. But more than a tefach underneath, it's considered to be part of the ground. It's not considered to be part of the actual orin, which is made out of natural stone. Suppose it's asuya kamin kamatra. How about if it's like a regular box? In a regular box, the top of the box comes all the way to the end of the sides. So it's like you don't see a lid that's partially on it. The lid forms the same shape as the top, as the rest of it. So then wherever you touch it, anywhere, hanogea bebikomakom would be tummy, because over there, even if it's wide on top or it's narrow on top, it doesn't make any difference. Because since the lid now covers every place that you touch, it will be mitame the entire thing. How about if it's kamin glusko? Suppose it's like a glusko. So that's the type of box where it's inside. In other words, you have like a little rim inside and you put the cover on the inside so that it's supported by something on the inside. It hits a little piece on the inside, and it doesn't cover anything at all that goes to the side. So what's the din over there? There, hanogea b'mikomakom tahor. Any place that you touch the outside is going to be tahor. Why? Because in that case, you are not underneath something that is mitame at all. Because the area that was underneath the ohel, the only ohel, was actually not within reach of you to being able to touch, because it's all the way at the inside of it. You can't get to the inside. The only place that you could become tame is if you touch the lid. So chutz mimekom p'tichata, if you actually touch the outside, so that's the only part that can be, that can allow tuma through, because that has been, is now considered to be part of a kever. And remember that a kever is metame, not because it's a kli, but because it's a kever. And therefore will be metame you by touching the outside. But otherwise, it's as if you're touching the ground itself, and it doesn't have shame of a kever. There's nothing there that makes it man-made.